It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome back to Game of Roses. This is Lizzie Pace here with
Bachelor Clues. And this is our second part in our How to Win the Bachelor series. Last week, we went over the fundamentals of the game, the general rules that outline the game. Although these are unwritten rules, they clearly exist. And now that we've given any of our listeners out there, of which there are tens of thousands, the basic structure of the game, now, this week, we want to cover some general strategies. These are things that you should have in your mind as a player at all times while in the game, things that can be employed in virtually any situation. These are not specific strategies. We will be getting to those in later episodes, but these general strategies provide a foundation for any player. Just like in any sport you might have going through your mind at any given time, keep your eye on the ball or leave it all on the field. These kind of general strategies are similar to that. They're just basic ways you should always be playing.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to our fundamentals episode, though, you should go back and listen now.
That's right. It's required listening. Before you get into the general strategies, you must know the fundamentals. This is a building exercise.
This won't even make sense to you unless you've listened.
That's absolutely correct.
And reviewed and subscribed.
I don't know about that. Okay. So our first general strategy that we're going to cover this week here on How to Win the Bachelor is
screen time equals followers.
Get that tattooed somewhere on your body. It is the primary general strategy for any of the Bachelor games. We're talking about Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. So the more you're on screen, the more followers you're going to get. It's that simple.
That is the goal of the game. That's the true prize of going on the show. It's the mark of success as a player and ultimately the number that's going to define your professional life for the next 3 to 5 years. Too often, I feel like players confuse other sub-victories within the game as the actual prizes, but it must be remembered that the highest honor any player can hope to achieve is not actually the ring or the crown. The grand prize, and indeed the very point of playing it all, is to maximize your increase in Instagram followers.
We're going to be getting into some other general strategies on how to increase your screen time, how to maintain screen time if you're allowed it. But we should also note here in this early portion of our outlining of general strategies that this doesn't apply to all players. As we know, our beloved game is extremely racist. And so too is the fan base. Because Rachel Lindsay, who was a bachelorette herself, does not have a million followers. In the Instagram era, she's the only bachelorette who does not have a million followers.
872,000 followers.
In fact, no African-American players have breached the 1 million mark.
Yeah, she has the most. Tayshia's 790. Mike Johnson, a huge possible bachelor pick, 663,000.
So if you are a player of color, you're playing at a deficit immediately.
Rachel Lindsay's season also had the lowest ratings of any season.
That said, these general strategies still apply. It still will help any player, regardless of race, get their Instagram number as high as it possibly can be. But again, I thought it was worth noting that if you are not white, your numbers will be significantly lower.
Finding ways to give yourself as much screen time as possible is paramount. In the course of the game, there's going to be a lot of sitting around. You're not going to have access to phones or books or anything that might serve as entertainment. But this is not an excuse to sink into the depths of boredom. And indeed, no excuse to be boring. A smart player will utilize her environment to put on a mini show. You engage in some activity that producers will want to edit into the show. Just because you're left in the mansion, the bachelor's on a date with someone else, it doesn't mean the player can't still be the star of her own show.
You should basically be looking for any kind of little endearing activity or something like this you can do that'll kind of set you out and build a character, like Corinne Olympios, for example, one of the greatest players in the game's history. She doesn't have a million followers, but she was fantastic because she had a brief time in the game only. One season of Bachelor and then a truncated season of Bachelor in Paradise where the producers destroyed her life.
She got 729,000. Pretty good haul for that little screen time.
And she's still today in Bachelor fandom is most known for the girl who took naps.
Is she most known for that, or is she most known for the sex scandal?
Yeah, she's most known for the sex scandal, you're right.
But this is a strong number two.
Yeah, prior to the sex scandal, she was the girl who took naps. But she was taking naps constantly. The producers built a comedic package around the story. They made that part of her identity. And she just continued to do it. She continued to milk this idea that she's taking naps, whether she actually was or not, completely irrelevant. She was getting screen time based on this kind of endearing, cute activity she was doing. And she even did it during one rose ceremony. She skipped a rose ceremony, defied the rules of the game in service of her own character's identity, and it worked.
She was also unconscious for a lot of that screen time. I mean, that is an amazing move. Yeah, she was entertaining in her downtime, effectively turned The Bachelor into the Corinne show. Can I name another player who was on that season? No. Whose season was it? Vial.
Yeah, it was your Vial. Boy. Well, Rachel Lindsay was on that season. Don't forget her. She was cast on that season specifically to be the first Black Bachelorette. This is a widely known fact.
Is it?
I mean, I'm making it that.
It is our fact.
It's 100%
true. In our beloved game.
She was cast specifically on that show. Nick Vial was aware of it the day she walked in. The producers told him, hey, she's going to be our first African-American bachelorette. She's going to go to the top three. Then you're going to dismiss her.
She got the Fempros.
She was very clearly cast to be that.
Another player who, honestly, by all other means, you would consider her a generic run-of-the-mill player, Annalise, got so much more screen time than she would have otherwise been afforded by exacerbating her abnormal phobias, like bumper cars, various animals.
Yes, having phobias, whether they're real or imagined, when you come in is something you should definitely tell the producers about, because they will find some way to orchestrate a package around that, and it will give you at least a little segment in one or potentially more episodes, giving you the all-valuable screen time, which again, this is the general rule we're talking about. Screen time equals followers.
Yeah, the producers recognized that there was comedic value in shaming her for her fears, basically. And they cut together a bunch of nightmarish bumper car flashbacks. And it became some of that season's most talked about moments. She was invited to Bachelor in Paradise twice and was given more screen time, more followers. Her trauma game was definitely better than her dating game, and she picked a bunch of losers. But
whether it's an endearing trait or a phobia or anything else, it is paramount for each player to remember at all times during the game, screen time equals followers. You have to be doing anything you can to get screen time that is not detrimental to your overall life in the game.
And a phobia is a perfect mini storyline that even if it's fake, you can show yourself overcoming it in your journey to find love.
Our next general strategy, this cannot be understated. You should get this tattooed somewhere on yourself as well. Never trust the producers. Say it again. Never trust the producers. The conceit of the game is that the Bachelor is making a choice to eliminate every player except the final winner. This is just a lie. It's not true at all. While it's obviously crucial to manipulate the Bachelor, you have to ingratiate yourself to him to stay around for a long time. You have to also remember the producers ultimately are the game masters. They're the architects of whatever is happening in this fucking game. If you're sticking around, if you're going home, whatever. And to some degree, the Bachelor is as much
and
a pawn in
look.
This game as the players.
They're not just in control of like what actually happens. They're in control of the storyline and how it's going to appear to Bachelor Nation.
It's very important to remember what the producers do. Why are they a part of this? Their entire purpose, the only thing they're ever trying to do in this game, our beloved game,
is to help people find love.
No, it's to get ratings. That's all they care about. And they know that displays of emotional turmoil or sexual conquests, these get the highest ratings. So despite the fact that they might befriend you when you come into the game, or seemingly befriend you, they might buddy up to you.
They might take selfies.
They want to be in your Instagrams. All of this is bullshit. Their loyalties are only to themselves. And you have to remember that these people were very likely fans of the show at one point. Just like you. Just like every player who's coming into the fucking game. But they couldn't get into the game. Unlike the players, for whatever variety of reasons.
Probably just that they're not as hot.
You said it, not me.
Fuck.
You're not getting into the game, producers. And so at their core, they actually resent the players. And each player has to remember this at all times. These people are not your friends. They don't care about you as a person. You are just a means to their ends, which is higher ratings or praise within the producerial group. Climbing that ladder at the show itself is ultimately their goal.
Even if the player becomes the bachelor, the producers are still not on the player's team. Their goals are inherently different. They're not going to give the bachelor the most dates with the players they've ranked the highest or a smooth dating experience. In every season, the lead player is bombarded with lies revealed and secret guests from various players' past at inconvenient times. Colton recently revealed in an interview that we've already talked about, but the producers didn't care about his wishes, and he would purposely rank players he was most interested in lower down on his preference list so that the producers would give those players dates.
And then another element of this is retribution. With the thing you're talking about with Colton, he says this shit on This American Life. He reveals that the producers kind of like fucked him over on his season. And so what do? On this past season of Bachelor in Paradise, they cut together a segment that is completely unnecessary. It furthers none of their stories in any way. It's just all the girls that kissed Colton saying he was a bad kisser. They did that specifically as punishment for Colton revealing their kind of behind the scenes machinations. So it's worth noting that you can't even trust the producers when you're off the show. You have to always be aware of this. But the flip side of this is the producers aren't to be avoided. You can't ignore them. You can't pretend they're not there. Instead, it's quite the opposite. Because they're such an intrinsic part of the game, they may be amoral, they may be Machiavellian, but they are still people. And they can be manipulated, just like they are trying to manipulate you. So you listen to them as a player. You learn things from them. You pretend to go along with their plans. But above all, in every interaction with these motherfuckers, you have to ask yourself a simple question as a player. Why? Why are they telling me to say this thing? And to whom are they telling me to say it? Why are they telling me to perform this action? And when? Why are they asking me to elaborate about this event or this person?
Yeah, what storylines are they pushing because of these questions?
And are those storylines in alignment with whatever strategy you're trying to implement at the time? I mean, producers have fucking located and flown ex-boyfriends to the show the night after Fantasy Suites. They have purposely cast known racists to be suitors for people of color.
Lee. So,
what's that?
Lee.
Lee Garrett.
Lee Garrett.
They suggested and arranged for players to have knock-knocks, which are like late-night rendezvous where they go and, I'm going to go to the hotel room, knock, knock, knock. Oh. And then they gain the ire of the other players for having some kind of sexual interaction. They cast players who have adversarial relationships outside the game. We saw with Hannah Brown and Kaylin. They were both rival pageant queens, and they specifically cast them so they would get in a fight. They offer unlimited alcohol, cigarettes at all times in order to induce kind of altered states of mind for players, making them more pliable, susceptible to suggestion, prone to overreaction.
Yeah,
producers,
I mean,
are terribly, terribly Machiavellian, and all they're trying to do is pit all the players against each other and tear them down so that they can force a mental breakdown basically on camera. That, for a producer, is the highest goal.
The stress is so intense that, like, we've seen someone go home from being too drunk or losing it on night one, like maybe like every other season. There's like still people doing that.
You can never ever trust the producers. Keep that in mind and see if you can, as a player, manipulate them to your will, because it is possible.
One of our other baseline strategies is praising the process. It's one of the most crucial basic strategies in our beloved game. It's also one of the easiest to master. Praising the process simply means a player should at all times effusively state their loyalty to the game and their firm belief that it is a viable means by which to find true love. This demonstrates respect for one of the fundamentals of the game, the right reasons. Secondarily, a player can and should invoke past players who have been successful in leaving the game with a significant other. This is your Jaden Tanner. Talk about them like they've reached the Holy Land. This is going to convey reverence for the game and its star players while simultaneously indicating to the producers that this player is on their side. Conversely, any denial of the potential viability of the game's process should be avoided at all costs. Any player who's perceived to doubt the game to the producers will become an immediate target for removal.
Another general strategy. We all heard this growing up as kids, didn't we? Just Say No. This strategy within the context of our beloved game, Just Say No, means that you don't have to do what the producers tell you. You don't even have to do what The Bachelor tells you. The producers will build this environment that is purposely created to eliminate the ability to engage your mind with any kind of stimuli whatsoever. There's no TVs in here. You get no cell phones. I don't even think they can listen to music. They're just sitting around.
You just get to talk to your competitors and dwell in your anxieties.
Exactly. So when a producer comes in and pulls you aside and says, hey, let's go talk about how you're feeling about this other player, it can seem like they're your friend in that moment because it's offering you some kind of social engagement outside of the player pool. And it's a brief respite from whatever's going on in the house, be that boredom, monotony, or active conflict. But this is not your friend. And you, again, have to be asking yourself, why are they asking me to do this? What do they want me to do? Where, why, to whom? And if that doesn't align with what you want to do, you can just say no. You can say, I don't want to do this. And they have to abide by it. Now, it may mean that you will get a little less screen time, but it may be worth it. Because if that screen time paints you in a bad light, if it makes you into a villain or a fool,
or hurts your long-term strategy,
just don't do it. It's totally okay and should be remembered at all times. You don't have to do what they're asking you to do. Our next general strategy. Don't do the Bachelor's job for him. There are 25 to 30 players in each season, and all but one of them has to be eliminated by the Bachelor. And in the context of the game, this kind of like one-by-one dismissal, it's the only thing the Bachelor does in the context of the game. That's his sole function. He knows that Bachelor Nation is watching him. All eyes are upon his every move. You don't want to wind up in Ari, maligned after choosing Becca Kufrin, and then going back on that choice and saying, no, actually, I want the other one. People hated his fucking guts. Every Bachelor is aware of that, and they want to paint themselves in the best light. So at every moment, they are looking for a reason to eliminate people. They know they have to get rid of 29 of 30 women. And if you provide them an opportunity to do that, that exonerates them of wrongdoing, that looks justified in some way, their hands are clean. They will take that opportunity every fucking time. So don't do anything to put yourself in that position. Don't make that job easy for him. Because if a Bachelor is given a clear path to dismiss you without blame, they're going to do it every time.
Another huge baseline strategy that goes off of that, because every single but one player is going to be eliminated, every player must be prepared to use this strategy and go out with a bang. All players but one are going to have a final exit. You have a last moment to put on display any qualities that might deem a player worthy of invitations to paradise, or if a player has made it far enough into the season, a potential bestowing of the crown. We have three general strategies to employ in this moment. Number one is the early exit. If a player finds herself leaving the game before the playoffs, the best strategy to secure an invitation to paradise is to exit with a splash, a humorous catchphrase, or a brash rant to give the player enough momentary cachet that she gets a quick bump in Instagram followers and a guaranteed segment on the Women Tell All episode, which not everyone gets invited back to. And in the Women Tell All, you can defend or explain your final actions, which is going to build a robust enough character that an invitation to paradise is all but assured.
And then if you make it far enough into the game, you're given a late exit. And for the late exit, the strategy is completely different. Being brash and doing comedic antics, that has to be replaced with humility and grace. Wishing the Bachelor all the best and finding love, followed by some kind of like tearful confessional interview about just wanting to find love yourself and questioning why you didn't find it here. You can get in a quick praise of the process. I know this works. I've seen it work before. It just didn't work for me this time.
Maybe if I could be invited back on Paradise or have one more chance, it might finally work for me.
A player should establish herself as serious, respectful, and hopeful. These are all qualities possessed by every player who ascended to the crown. And a late exit is a perfect time to give your kind of final impassioned play to become the next Bachelorette.
The last type of exit is a bit controversial. The third exit is a self-exit.
Where's the controversy with this one?
Here's the controversy. It can go right or wrong. for you. Okay. Because as we've established, a baseline strategy is screen time equals followers. So a self-exit inherently seems like a bad strategy. But at some point, it may become valuable for a player to remove themselves from the game. If a past social media transgression threatens to become public, an old flame threatens to make themselves known, or even if a player is on the verge of a good old-fashioned nervous breakdown, she can always resort to taking herself out of the game. Although this is never recommended, there is a method by which she can orchestrate her exit in a manner that will ensure the greatest Instagram gain and possibly leave the door open for an invitation to paradise, should she desire it, which she should. The strategy is simple and time-tested. Issue an ultimatum. A player should operate from the position that she has true feelings for the Bachelor. The environment is taking its toll on her emotionally. She should express that she wants to stay, but she needs some indication from the Bachelor that she should. If the Bachelor is incapable of meeting this demand, she should make it known that she has decided to eliminate herself from the game. This forced conversation will guarantee extra screen time and box the Bachelor into an awkward position of callously dismissing the player. We're creating a hanging by a thread storyline that will be carried over into a subsequent episode with even more screen time. And basically, they recap all of those cliffhangers endlessly. So that's more screen time as well. If a player has made it to the final six or so before taking herself out of the game, she has a chance to win the crown. And that is how you do a self-exit.
The next general strategy that should be tattooed somewhere on your person, where it's easily visible for yourself and no others, is they are always listening. Anything a player says or does is being recorded and analyzed by the producers to determine the best way to exploit you. Everything is recorded. You have to be aware and on your toes at all times, but this doesn't always mean that you have to be truthful or even nice. As long as you can lay out a game plan, the fact that the producers are always listening and watching you can be used against them. You can kind of build a game within the larger game. You can take control by initiating a well-thought-out misinformation campaign if you see the opportunity. What does that mean exactly? When you're alone, you can and really always should pretend like you don't know that there are mics or cameras on you. You can say something out loud to yourself about a feeling or an attitude or whatever about another player or even the Bachelor himself. Because whatever you say, the producers will take it and attempt to use it in the construction of some plot around you. And this can be invaluable. If you're trying to create a rivalry with another player, if you're trying to deliver information back to the Bachelor, for example, without actually having to say it to him, because whatever you say is going to be reported right back to him if it's salacious enough or interesting enough or whatever they want it to be to build a plot. And you can even garner audience sympathy with it. You can drum up some tears or something, drum up doubt about the process. Those moments of doubting the process should always be done in private.
You gotta have doubts, because then you gotta have the storyline of how you overcome them.
But all in all, please remember, they are always listening. Everything is being recorded, and you can use that to your advantage to disseminate disinformation or any kind of information that you want conveyed to other people without you having to actually do it.
Another baseline strategy is that you are a producer too, which kind of piggybacks off that last one, mm-hmm. where you can create your own storylines. Although you are always at the whim of the producers, you certainly do not have to wait for them to spur you into action. You have full reign of the house while you are sequestered. You can devise a plot and orchestrate any situation you want, especially given that you have so many hours of downtime between dates. You should never be bored. Use the time you have with the other contestants in the house to build your brand. Use your catchphrase. Do your little dance. Whatever your identifying characteristic might be, which you should prepare beforehand, exploit it. And use the time to manipulate the other contestants into your story. You'll often see this with players who create little songs and like get the other players to sing along. Create your own cliffhangers. Build dramatic tension that demands resolution, but that may take a few episodes to resolve. Generating a fake rivalry with another player, a new friendship, an unorthodox morning routine are all simple stories that you can control, assuring yourself more screen time.
Another general strategy? Very simple. Always be funny. Every season, the producers single out whoever the funniest player is. Other confessionals are used as reactions to whatever's going on. Sometimes they'll be used as commentators to whatever's going on. whoever the funniest person in the house is getting more screen time.
Recently, this was Demi.
Yes, Demi. Well, I mean, they even did on Bachelor in Paradise, Demi and Jordan became, in quotes, the dynamic duo, and they were comedically commenting on literally everyone on the fucking beach. They got an entire segment devoted to their humor. Some people are naturally funny, and those people are going to have a leg up, but don't worry. If you're a player who doesn't know how to be funny, we've got a few tips for you. Phobias. If you've got a fear, we talked about this a little bit before with Annalise. If you've got some kind of a fear, definitely let the producers know when you go in. They will exploit the shit out of that. It could be something, you know, normal like snakes or alligators or whatever. You can even manufacture strange phobias like coins or feathers. The producers will find some fucking way to put you in a giant pit of coins or feathers. I guarantee it. And they're going to have a whole segment about that. So even if you don't have a phobia, make one up. It can be crazy as shit. Probably the crazier the better, honestly, because the producers will manufacture some way to exploit it.
If you have a coin kink, just say that it's your phobia, and then you'll get a date full of coins.
That's true. Didn't think about that. Take whatever your kink is. Tell them it's a phobia. They'll try to exploit it. Joke's on them. That's how you be a producer, always be funny, and there's probably a third strategy.
Exploit your kink.
Yeah.
No, they have like pretty much every season, whoever says they're scared of heights, they're fucking going to be climbing the bridge and skydiving and shit.
Another piece of always be funny, if you don't have any phobias or you're afraid to exploit them, the use of food. Being a foodie is a huge comedic component in all areas of our beloved game. We've seen people like Josh Murray, who couldn't get enough pizza. I don't know how much pizza footage they had of him fucking chowing down on various pizzas, but it was a lot on his season of Bachelor in Paradise. A player's entire identity became scallop fingers because she ate a plate of fucking scallops, and they did multiple packages about scallop fingers. Cold cuts. We've seen multiple characters now, multiple players within our beloved game, dining on cold cuts for hours at a time. We even saw a man put cold cuts on his face with the middles carved out as glasses in this past season of Bachelorette.
And there was even more in the forgotten baloney tapes that we will never see.
There's a lot of baloney footage out there, a lot of baloney shows.
There was also a huge chicken nugget segment last time.
There was a satanic ritual performed using chicken nuggets when Cam took the Bachelorette, and I forget who the other guy was, Kevin Fortenberry, I think. He made him get into the weird circle of nuggets, and they all ate nuggets together. So yes, these are a great way to garner more screen time and to be funny, is to exploit some kind of food thing, some ritualistic eating of food, or some repetitive mentioning or eating of a specific kind of food.
If you create one of these motifs for yourself, you're going to have some young women wearing a t-shirt of it on After the Final Rose at the end of the season. And guess what? That motif on that t-shirt, that's more screen time.
And just quickly, another thing that you can try to do to be funny is what we call crazy funny. There's usually always one player per season that they single out as the maniac, the crazy one, the insane person. This can be achieved through talking to things that aren't there, befriending the floating swan in the pool, wearing weird clothes.
Ashley S. talking to the pomegranates.
Any of this kind of stuff. Just do nutty things, and they'll think it's funny, and they'll cut some weird package out of you being crazy. But those are simply three strategies of how to be funny. There are many others. You can find your own.
Other ideas for being crazy funny include: you mispronounce a word repeatedly, make up a nonsensical song, work out in a weird way, do a signature dance, start each morning with a primal scream, or assure the other players you have accurate premonitions about everything from natural disasters to who the Bachelor is going to take to fantasy suites. These are all simple ways to create the crazy person character. And if you make crazy faces, as we saw Demi do on Bachelor in Paradise, strong reaction faces, those are going to get made into GIFs. And getting made into a GIF also is a way to expand your brand, make you one of the most memorable people from the season.
But these are all strategies that fall under the general topic of always be funny. For our next general strategy, we go to one of the fundamentals of the game. Not only is this a fundamental, it can be used strategically. 4TRR, aka for those right reasons. This is the single paramount virtue of the game. It exists to facilitate the meeting of two people who will form a love that lasts a lifetime. We know that's complete bullshit, but because it is such a fundamental piece of the game, a player can use this as a shield or a sword in any given scenario if she needs to. Let's say you're on a date. Let's say you don't want to do the thing on the date. Let's say it's a group date. All the players have to get naked with these pigs and swim around and feed them hot dogs. That seems like it was an actual one.
That
but
was
I think
an
I'm putting
one.
Two together. They didn't have to get
they
naked.
They were in swimsuits.
They were in swimsuits feeding hot dogs to pigs. Swimming around in this fucking show. So as a player, you're going to be forced into these positions on group dates very usually where you're going to have to be doing something that is embarrassing, physically demanding, what have you. If you don't want to do one of these things, you can use the For the Right Reasons defense as a shield to say, walk up to the bachelor and say, you know what? I'm here to find love. And I feel like this kind of contradicts it. I get that it's all meant in good and fun and all that, but I don't want to do this. I would rather just like go have lunch with you or something. And if you're using For the Right Reasons as your underlying principle, it cannot be questioned, not by the bachelor, not by the other players, not even by the producers, because larger than all of these things, it is the fundamental rule of the game.
Another baseline strategy, and this is something that you can practice at all times in the game, is removal. If you ever see something that's about to happen, people about to get in a fight, people trying to drag you in a fight, people taking off their clothes, etc., throwing picture frames in the pool, the player should always remove themselves from the situation at the first sign of attention being drawn. It is always better to be away from any element of the game that could draw the bachelor's ire. Vanish, vaporize, become a ghost. And then the bachelor won't take it back out on you when they're like, well, you all are fighting, and they'll lump you in with the people who are actually causing the drama.
Get the fuck out of there. If something bad's going down, bye. I was not part of this. Our next general strategy, again, tattoo these wherever you like. You are here to make friends.
What?
That's right. We hear it time and time again from players. I'm not here to make friends. I'm just here for the bachelor. Well, that's wrong. You are there to make friends. Not only is it going to allow you more time in the game if you get along with the other players, it is going to vault you into the secondary game after the show, which is the Instagram game. If you're friends with all these people, you wind up in their Instagrams, cross-promoting different brands with them simultaneously. You hang out with them at Stagecoach. You want to be doing that. In fact, you have to be doing that to get the biggest Instagram gain. So while you're there, even if you don't like these people, pretend that you do. Become friends with them. You want to be flying to their cities after the show. You want to be going on trips around the world with them. You want to be appearing in their Instagrams as much as you can, especially if you're a player who doesn't make it as far in the game as the others. You have to know that there's going to be three players who make it to the final three. Your odds of being one of those players are not good. So you want to become their friends.
And especially so if they have higher followings than you, which you'll know going in how many Instagram followers each of the other contestants has.
And our final general strategy. Be what he wants. There are a lot of elements that comprise a player's ultimate run in our glorious game, in our beloved game. But there is only one on which all the others are built. And this is the bachelor's desires, what he wants out of a potential bride. So in order to stay in the game as long as possible, every player should adopt the attitudes and preferences that are kind of in alignment with whatever the bachelor has stated that he wants. So every player going into the game should openly say to him she's willing to move to whatever city he wants to live in. She's willing to convert to any religion that the bachelor practices. We all know that everyone's Christian on this show, but just in case.
Ideally, you should just go in and say you're Christian if he's Christian.
He will be.
The way, I asked Bachelor Clues before this episode aired. I was like, has there ever been a Muslim player in the game? At Bachelor Clues, laughed so hard I thought he was gonna die. But yeah, you should be prepared to have sex as frequently as the bachelor wants in whatever context they want, and of course you should be prepared to get married and start a family almost immediately.
Well, you don't have to be prepared to do these things. You just have to say that.
Right.
You don't have to want
to
do any of this.
You have to say that you would get married.
In order to stay in the game, you can never exhibit any kind of attitude or plan for the future that is not in complete alignment with the bachelor. So whatever he says he wants, you simply say, that's exactly what I want. How many kids do you want to have? How many do you want to have? And then whatever he says, say that number plus one, make a joke out of it. Ha ha ha. If he says, I'd like to have 5 kids, you say, I'd like to have 6. Well, I don't know about that. Ha ha ha. And it'll be a little moment between you, but
there's
you're on the same page.
There's a built-in joke. Feel free to use that.
Yeah, that's free of charge. Essentially, with Be What He Wants, it's self-explanatory. You literally are molding your identity to be exactly what he's looking for, to assure that you stay in the game as long as possible. That does it for this week. Those are our basic general strategies. We're going to be coming at you next week with equipment. These are the tools that every player has that they bring into the game with them. And we'll, as I said, get into that more next week. But we hope you've enjoyed our general strategies and that you're generally enjoying our How to Win the Bachelor series.
We hope that you are going out and getting these tattooed all over your body for your gameplay.
Thank you once again for listening, and we will hopefully see you next week.
Praise be Lord Harrison.